Well, hi, everyone. If we haven't met yet, my name is Greg. I'm the campus pastor here at Westbury. We actually have a location in Syosset, a location in Manhasset as well, but this one's my favorite location. And we are, October will be our one-year anniversary, so I'm not good with the math. 8, 9 months? Somewhere in it. Just between 6 and 12 months is our age, so... And while these guys, I think they're close. While these guys work on that, we'll just jump in. Corey mentioned we're in a brand new series called Wonderful Name. It's on the names of God. And today we're talking about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. And here, I want you to participate today. I'm going to give you a chance. This is going to freak some of you out, but it's optional. But I'm going to give you a chance to participate by verbally sharing something later in the service. So to prompt you for that, to help you, take out your message notes, and I want you to write two phrases on here. Here's the first. I need God's faithfulness in, and then you kind of fill in the blank. It's a little starter for you. I need God's faithfulness in. And then secondly, write, I've seen God's faithfulness in. So something may come to mind right now, and that's awesome. Or as we're going through this, I'm going through this message, something may come to mind. I encourage you to jot that down. Then a little later, I'll give you a chance to share. I'm going to have some ushers. You'll have a mic. You don't have to come up on stage. You can share right from where you are. Either how you need God's faithfulness as a way for us to pray for you, or let's celebrate in ways you've seen God being faithful. All right, who knows what this symbol, this hand symbol means up here on the screen? First of all, it's the dude up there. Right? It means it's good, all is well, right? You can, that's coming. That's coming. Don't get ahead of me. That's coming. All is well. My wife says to me, hey, how was your day today? I could say something or I can just say, boom. And I often will do that. And she'll say, use your words, Greg, use your words. So I'll expand on that. I'll say, it was good. You know, I don't get much more than that. But we use this symbol, for those of you who are into social media, all the time with Facebook, right? We give the like symbol. But this symbol has various modifications. If you turn it just slightly and you're outside, you could be symbolizing that you need a ride, right? You're looking to hitchhike. I'm at the age where when I was, well, it was still unwise to hitchhike, but which I did. But there was an era when this was a common mode of transportation, which is good because even Batman, you know, even superheroes need a ride once in a while. Everybody can use a ride. But if you take that symbol and add a second one, you get the Fonz. Hey! Now, if you have no idea who the Fonz is, MeTV, they show episodes all the time. I think it's Channel 3, at least on my service provider. MeTV, check it out. Part of your history. But a little more historical usage, World War II. Pilots on aircraft carriers would signal to the deck crew that they were ready to go. The wheel chocks could be removed. In the Middle Ages, the thumbs up was a signal for the archers, for English archers, that their bow was ready and they're set for battle. In ancient Rome, a hand gesture was used by the crowds to pass judgment on the defeated gladiator, right? Thumbs up was, we should let this person live. Thumbs down, it was the opposite. I want to share with you how we can re-sign this sign to go from just meaning good, all is well, to God is faithful. God is faithful. Let me show you how we get there. Take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. It says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Let me read that again, but let me give you some imagery for this verse. Go to that next slide, Angel. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. God is faithful. There's a phrase in that verse that is so key. Covenant. This covenant of love. You think, oh, what's a covenant? Isn't it just some kind of like agreement, some kind of business transaction? We covenant to pay this bill or to stay in this relationship. It's more than that. Tim Keller, who is a pastor in the city, a phenomenal communicator, pastor's Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Here's his definition. I know you won't be able to read the words in the bottom. I'll read them for you. A covenant, he says, is a relationship. But it's a relationship more loving and intimate than merely a legal relationship. Yet, it's more binding and enduring and accountable than a merely personal relationship. The covenant is a stunning blend of law and love. And I love it because he says, even though you can enter a covenant voluntarily, mutually, and commit to be faithful, God's a promise keeper, a covenant keeper. And so he is faithful to us regardless of the circumstances. Now here's where the thumbs up comes in. It was a medieval custom, all right, not necessarily biblical, so I'm transferring it a little bit. A medieval custom to give a thumbs up as a way to seal business transactions. And so when we think of God's faithfulness, like this is a done deal. He sealed the deal for us. I want to take it a step further. Anyone familiar with Pandora? It's not the box. It's a music service, which is phenomenal in that it gives you a chance to create your own stations, your own playlist. Here's what I mean. Look at this next image. They on their website or on their app, every time a song is played, there's a thumbs up and a thumbs down symbol. And they created what's called the Music Genome Project, which is a fancy phrase for the fact that they took thousands upon thousands of songs and song by song by song, collected all kinds of data from each song, including like the melody, the harmony, instrumentation, rhythm, vocals, lyrics, all kinds of data. And every time I click, hey, I like this song, then their computer says, oh, find more songs that have this kind of data. And every time I click, I don't like it. They're like, whoa, stay away from songs with this kind of data. And so it kind of filters it to create your own little, you know, heavenly music experience. At least that's their goal. But as I thought about the thumbs up, thumbs down with Pandora, I couldn't help but think of how we all the time respond to one another, to products with thumbs up, thumbs down. How you doing? What'd you think of the concert? We do that all the time. And our approval or disapproval has value, has merit, but we need to be careful that we're not dismissing people, we're not dismissing ideas because it doesn't suit our taste. See, I may give a thumbs down to a song and a thumbs up to another song, and I'll face little consequence for that. But what about the other votes I cast in life? What about when I say, hey, thumbs down to pain? Hey, thumbs down to fear. Thumbs down to depression. Thumbs down to risk. Thumbs down to humiliation. The truth is, I've learned a lot from experiences where each of those played a significant role in my life. I didn't choose to be humbled or to face fear or battle depression, but I was forced to deal with it. And I came away wiser and stronger because in the midst of that, God is faithful. God is faithful. I want to give you some biblical examples. And just to make you aware, when I did a search for verses on God's faithfulness, there was just about 250 examples. We're only going to do about five, so you know we're okay. But if you want to continue this study, I got plenty of examples for you. But let's take a trip to the garden. Let's go back to where it all began with Adam and Eve. And you likely know the story, but if not, Adam and Eve, God's creation, and said, "This playground I'm calling planet Earth, is yours. Enjoy it. Just have fun. It's all for you. But there's this one tree that has fruit on it. I don't want you to take that fruit. But you see the fruit everywhere else? Go crazy. Have as much as you want." And, you know, we are humans and we're like, "Oh, what can't we have? That's what I want." And so Adam and Eve participated. And there was consequence with that. There was a consequence with that. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I'll just read it to you. It won't be on the screen. God is speaking to the serpent, to Satan, and he says, "I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." God saying, "Look, something has happened now that disobedience took place. And there's going to be forever this tension in the world. There's going to be sin in the world. But in the end, you, Satan, your attacks on mankind will be just like a bite in the heel. But a man is coming, Christ, who will crush your head." And so there were going to be consequences for that, for our actions, but it wasn't the end of a relationship. I want you to think, translate that into your own life. Have you ever said or done something that you were convinced would completely destroy you or destroy your relationship? Don't answer out loud. Just think about it. Despite our bad choices, God is faithful. Let me take you on a boat. This is Noah's story, right? Genesis 6 and following. And again, you have a situation where humanity just decided, God, thanks for the suggestions, but we're going to do things our way. And humanity just went off a deep end, literally, but off a deep end, and God said, "That's it, there's going to be judgment." And so he had Noah and his family, and he gathered animals to fill this ark. And then those chapters tell the story of waters rising, mountains lowering, or at least appeared that they were lowering as they were getting higher, and ultimately creation destroyed. Now I want you to imagine being on that boat, on that ark. Imagine the silence after this judgment. Sure, there's some animals making noise and all that kind of stuff right here, but as you looked around, as you just imagined, you know, what could be beyond the horizon and seeing nothing, imagine the silence, imagine the fear, imagine the unknown. And then this is what it says in Genesis 8. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals, the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Because God is faithful. Are you living in pain right now? All right, do you feel isolated? God knows. God knows. We don't know the timing when God will respond, but we can be confident that He will, because God is faithful. Let's visit a family. Now, this is a family also from the book of Genesis, chapter 21. Abraham and Sarah and the birth of their son Isaac. And this is amazing because God promised this couple that a nation would be birthed from them. And this was incredible. They were excited because Sarah had been unable to get pregnant. She wanted a child. She cried out to God. She prayed, and year after year after year, nothing. And so when they got this promise, it was incredible. There was a problem, however. After that promise, years went by without a child. Years. And it got to the point that Sarah told her husband, "I think we misunderstood God. I think God wants you to have a child through another woman." And so she wanted her husband to sleep with her servant. But guess what? That wasn't God's plan. You ever try to do God's job for Him? You ever been guilty of that? Like, you know, you're going this way because you think it's the right way, but it's just not working out. And so you think, you know what, God, let me deal with this. Let me help you out a little bit. I'm going to cut some corners here. I'm going to, you know, go this direction. I'm going to have a little white lie. I'm going to gossip just a little bit. I'm going to cheat just a little bit, just to get things going, God, and then I'll be faithful. We do that, right? We try to do God's job because we think He's asleep on the job. God, you're not making this happen, so let me show you how it's done. Well, in the midst of Abraham and Isaac's waiting, and Abraham now had a child through another woman, an angel appeared to Abraham and Sarah and said, "This time next year, Sarah is going to have a child." And Sarah overheard this conversation the angel was having with Abraham, and she laughed. But it wasn't like excitement laughed. It's like, yeah, right, God. Like, yeah, we've heard this before. Ha, 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 ha. Well, in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "The Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what He had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him." So they named this child Isaac. And Isaac means laughter. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." So she went from a mocking laugh a year ago to laughter of delight of what God had promised, because God is faithful. So let me just pause right now. Did anyone jot anything down that you wanna share of how you need God's faithfulness, or how you've seen God's faithfulness? I got people with a mic. Anyone want to share right now? You'll have a chance later if you want. No pressure. All right, let's go back to the story. But I encourage you at some point to share, because this is our story. God's not faithful just to me or to you. He's faithful to us as a community. And when we hear how we need God's faithfulness, we can pray together. When we hear how God's been faithful, it'll encourage us. So go for it. I know this is like, we don't normally do this. Exactly. That's why it's meaningful. Let's go to prison, shall we? This is Genesis chapter 37. I'm just in Genesis, the first book. That's why we're not doing 250 examples. We're just doing a handful. But this is a story of Joseph. Joseph who was unfairly treated by his brothers. He was sold. They sold him as a, like a slave. They sold him. We don't like this kid. Get him out of here. Give me some money for him. And then he was later unfairly treated by Potiphar's wife. Potiphar took Joseph from the slave market and put him in charge of kind of his home. And Joseph was unfairly accused of trying to rape Potiphar's wife, which he didn't. And in Genesis 39, it says, while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Because in the midst of this chaos, God was faithful. And years later, his brothers come to Egypt, where he now is second in charge of the entire nation. I skipped a lot of chapters there. And his brothers feared that, oh my goodness, he's going to kill us. But his brothers, Joseph said to his brothers, you intended to harm me. In fact, you did. This is my translation. In fact, you did. You sold me. Do you remember that? He didn't say that, but you know, that's my translation. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. God is faithful. God is faithful. Let's go to this next screen here. Any examples? I need God's faithfulness in. I've seen God's faithfulness in. Anyone want to share yet? You're gonna miss out. Let's go. I'm trying to think if I want to skip this one or not. Yeah, let's go to this next one. Thanks, Angel. We're gonna go to a meeting for a pep talk. Anyone know who this is? Kid President. There you go. Someone under the age of 30. There you go. Kid President. If you don't know who Kid President is, go to YouTube and just type in Kid President. You'll thank me later. This kid's hilarious and incredibly encouraging. But let me take you to a meeting, a pep talk, where God had called Moses to lead the enslaved people of Israel out of that slavery and lead them to the promised land. Right? Take them out of this land that was powerful and mighty and where they were enslaved, and lead them to the promised land. And God said to Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And Moses responded, did just as I would have. What? You got what? Huh? You're going to do what? You're asking me? What? And God said, yes, you're going to do it. And Moses said, he asked four questions. Who am I? I can't do this. Then he asked, well, what should I tell them? I don't know what to say. Then he asked, well, what if they don't believe me? I'm not very persuasive. Then he asked, what if they don't listen? And here's what God said. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. And this is the ultimate pep talk, whether it was Kid President or Vince Lombardi or, you know, you insert your own motivational speaker. It was the ultimate pep talk. But Moses' response was, please send someone else. Please send someone else. He saw his challenge before him instead of God's God's faithfulness. I want to invite Lewis. Come on up here. I want to invite Lewis, you up here to share some ways he has seen God's faithfulness. In April 16th, there was an earthquake in Ecuador, and on April 20th, 21st, you left Westbury to head towards Ecuador. Let's take a look at some pictures. We're going to scroll through these. What are we seeing here?
That's me at Ground Zero in Pedernales in Ecuador, and I went to help someone with some of their errands, but we were able to observe some of the destruction.
How about this next picture? What are you seeing there?
That's about a week into our field hospital. We built it up, and mostly tents and all. And that's our staff in the front from Samaritan's Purse.
Okay. And this next picture?
That's a picture of me a couple weeks ago. I went as a setup team member, pretty much manual labor, to help set up the camp. But then later on, I was able to use some of my medical training. And that's just a picture of me. I guess I was a little tired from the long days. But one of the nurses took a picture of that.
Okay, and then we have, there's you.
There's me again next to an anesthesiologist, and we're just talking about how to help this little young boy.
You got one more.
And actually, this is me first assisting a surgeon named Michael Cheatham. He's the doctor that was instrumental in the Orlando shootings. It was his hospital, and he's director of the trauma service there.
Wow.
And so it's kind of crazy that God used him in Ecuador and then sent him back to Orlando.
That's amazing. It's almost like God knows what he's doing, right?
Exactly.
So just to make sure we all understand, the earthquake happened, and 5 days later, you were there, and you went just to help, however, but they knew you had some medical training, and so you were doing far more than you were amazing. So here's my question. Did you see God's faithfulness in the midst of all that was happening in Ecuador?
Definitely I saw his faithfulness to the people of Ecuador and the faithfulness to us as Samaritan's Purse. He brought a lot of hurt, injured patients to us, and he provided the means for us to serve and to really heal. And in the beginning, we went as medical professionals and other professionals, and we were so busy taking care of patients that we couldn't focus on other things. But later on, I noticed a lot of doctors would start praying, especially when they felt inadequate or they didn't know how to take care of a patient. And it was awesome to see, because it reflected that in God's economy and how God views us, we're children of God before anything. Doesn't matter what titles you have or what giftings he may have provided you. Before anything else, we're children of God, and we were able to share in some of the lives of the people there. And I remember being asked a lot, you know, why'd you come? Why are you here? And it reminds me of John 17 and the whole point of missions or why we go. Jesus gave up everything to come down to this earth. And we were asked, so why'd you give up everything back in your, you know, lives in America and come here? Well, for us, if you compare it to what Jesus did, it's really nothing. And I remember there were times I was digging a ditch or helping with wound dressings, and I kept being asked, why are you here? And I really couldn't answer except because in the Bible it says, you know, everything I know about the Bible compels me to go. And I don't know if they fully understood my explanation. A lot of the people in Ecuador are Catholic. But that's the best answer I could give. Yeah. And even now, people ask me, why'd you give up everything to go? And, you know, Jesus did it. He did it for me and you. Yeah. For me to give up my little things is nothing.
And what's exciting is, you know, you went simply to serve, to be available. But while he was there, You know, he's done all of his medical training. He just has to do a residency. And you made some connections that, so Thursday, you're flying to Texas.
So on Thursday, I go to Texas, and it's a leap of faith. During my time in Ecuador, I actually applied to a residency program and thought I was going to get in because I got a lot of recommendations from the doctors that I work with. But I did not get in. But I am going down to Texas in a leap of faith to work in the hospital, maybe do some research in hopes to get a residency. Because I am more than convinced that if the Lord provides for me a spot to become a fully trained doctor, that He will use me in the mission field.
Awesome.
And just one more thing. I met a couple of doctors who were later on in their careers and they came to serve. And a lot of them confessed that out of fear, out of feeling inadequate, out of whatever reason, they did not serve in their younger years. And when I heard that, I was convinced that for me, at least, if I am capable and available to go and serve.
Yeah, amen. So keep Lewis in prayer as he heads down to Texas for this potential residency. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. So I want to close with giving us or pointing us to the ultimate example of God's faithfulness and giving us a chance to share in the Lord's Supper, communion together. There's four different tables right here on the sides. There's one straight back for anyone that needs some gluten-free communion. That's right center back. But here's what I want you to do. As the band plays, at any point you can get up and go to the station. Take that cracker, which is really representative of Christ's body that was broken for us on the cross, and just dip it into the juice, which represents his blood that was poured out for us. And this is what allows us to receive forgiveness of our sins. And then eat it. But then when you leave, I just want you to look at the next person in line and just give them one of these to say, to communicate, God is faithful. God is faithful. Take, dip, eat, and then turn to the next person. You don't have to say anything. Just give them the sign. God is faithful.